Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Russian currency has extended its losses, declining in early trading today by 7% as Russia's economy shows the first signs of recession. The ruble, which has been one of the world's worst performing currencies this year, traded at 57 to the dollar this morning. The ruble's fall came as the Economic Development Ministry issued a report showing Russia's economy declining by 0.5% year-on-year in November. That's the first time that Russia's GDP has shown signs of a recession since 2009. This morning, USDA released its delayed weekly export sales report from last week. The numbers look like this. For 14-15, corn, 1.7 million metric tons. Soybeans, 635,800 metric tons. Wheat, 293,100 metric tons. For 15-16, soybeans, 1.5 million metric tons, and for wheat, 35,500 metric tons. The Chinese government is changing from a floor price purchase program to a target price subsidy policy for the 14-15 soybean crop. The new policy will discourage farmers from planting more soybeans next year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading. Well, I have a little problem with my computer on that particular bid. I can tell you that the NASDAQ's 4809, it's up 2.25, and the S&P 500 is 2091, and it is up 2.68 points. The Dow is 18,066, and it is up almost 13. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Bitter cold seems to take the headlines today across much of the western and central parts of the U.S. in the forecast, and most of that cold is likely to diminish quite a bit before reaching into the Midwest. However, it's still going to make headlines for a while. There's going to be some crop damage across fruit and vegetable areas in the San Joaquin Valley, which is part of California's Central Valley system, where there's going to be temperatures in the 20s over the middle part of this week. That's going to be cold enough to cause some damage to crops there. There's a little bit of the table fruit that's going to be hurt there as well, including some of the citrus crop in parts of Southern California. We're also going to see extreme temperatures dropping down into the negative 20s to close to minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit across the northern U.S. plains as we get into the next couple of nights. A lot of that cold will also reach into the northwestern Corn Belt, but not getting very far into the heart of the Midwest. Most of our immediate region here is going to see temperatures getting down perhaps to a few single-digit readings in teens during the colder days during the middle to latter part of this week, but I don't think we'll be seeing any kind of crop damage, even though some wheat areas are going to be snow-free. The surface high pressure center responsible for all of the bitter cold conditions in the western United States will likely stop in the Great Plains and not come any further to the east. It will sit out there and diminish, and we will see some strong northerly winds across the Midwest as a result of that system, but there will not be any light and variable winds that would help those temperatures drop down to the damage threshold in unprotected wheat areas. So for the most part, it's not a bad scenario for the heart of the Midwest. We were fairly warm over the weekend. We're going to see temperatures cool off, though, as we go through this week, obviously. The afternoon temperatures across the region today will contrast sharply with temperatures in the single digits, both positive and negative single digits, in the far northwestern Corn Belt, to readings that will be in the 30s and 40s across the lower and eastern portions of the Midwest. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll see some of that cold air in the northwest work its way further weather to the southeast. And our coolest day will probably end up being Wednesday, when most of the heart of the Midwest will see highs only in the 20s and 30s. There will be a few teens across northern portions of the region. As we move out into the latter part of this week and early in the weekend, a temporary warm-up will occur, but a second wave of cold air will push through the Midwest as we get into the early part of next week, and that might be a time when we want to watch more closely about how well our snow cover is across some of the wheat country. The temperatures will be cool next week, but we are going to have a couple of opportunities for precipitation between now and then. For the next 4 or 5 days, though, it will be relatively dry across a big part of the region. A few snow showers in the Great Lakes region, but that's about it until we get to the end of the week, and then we'll see a little bit of light snow occur across portions of region maybe Thursday in the north, and probably late Thursday night, more likely Friday into Saturday for the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. A storm center will form in the lower Mississippi River Basin at that time and work its way to the northeast, bringing a little wintry mix of precipitation into the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. The system could produce a little bit of snow, a little bit of freezing rain and rain coming out of Missouri into portions of Ohio and southern Michigan, with rain occurring to the south of that area. Moisture totals could run from a couple tenths of an inch upwards to 3/4 of an inch, but a lot can change between now and then. We'll watch that system rather closely. After that system passes, there will be some light snow that will come ahead of next week's colder air, and that's why I think we'll probably have some snow on the ground to protect some of our winter crops. Down in South America, heavy rains occurred in southern Brazil over the weekend. We'll take a little break from that heavy rainfall for the next couple of days, but more heavy rain is likely late Wednesday, more likely Thursday into Saturday. Some of those areas are going to see some 2 to 7 inch amounts of rainfall, maybe something greater, that will cause some worsening flood conditions. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat is 651.5. The May is 656.5. Soft March, 619.25. May, 623. March corn, 414.75. May is 422.75. The July is trading 429.25, and December is trading 438. Range is down 0.25 to down 1. Not a lot going on in the corn market this morning. January soybeans, it's 10.53.25, up 5.75. March, 10.60.25, up 6.25. May, 10.67, up 6. July, 10.72.25, up 6.25. January soybean meal, 384.20, up 4.50. January soybean oil, 32.77, up 31. And we'll wait for the markets to open on Monday in the live cattle, the feeders, and the lean hogs. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Dave. Fairly good start to the new week here when we see some higher numbers in the beans and the wheat so far today.
Yeah, the beans and the wheat, and the wheat has our eye because of some technicals that we're kind of watching revolving around the 200-day moving average.
Yeah, we had a good run a week or so ago, and then we backed off last week and had a hard day down and checked out the 200-day moving average. And, you know, that's a good long-term indicator of a market, whether it be up or down, and we're above there and approaching, some support lines here. And with the couple of that with the weather out west with some, you know, pretty cold temperatures on a crop that's a little bit smaller and lighter out there, maybe we can keep this momentum going and get our head back above that 200-day and stay above there, and that'd be positive for the long haul.
March corn actually made a new high for its move today before sagging back into negative territory.
Yeah, we're looking in March corn at a gap that's been talked about for quite some time as a target, up into that 425 area. Seems to be a likely area we'll get to as we move forward into the next week or so.
And soybeans are at the top of its trading range in what has been a sideways pattern for the better part of a month.
I think maybe the key there is becoming the bean oil when you look at the Malaysian palm oil situation with some flooding rains. That chart to us looks like we've got some fundamentals behind it again to be able to maybe make a breakout to the upside here, and then you start looking at that $11 area as your best upside target you could kind of shoot for in the near term.
If there were to be any rallies ahead of the report in January, the USDA Super Bowl Sunday, I call it, but it's four reports on one day, what's the commodity that's most likely to have a rally?
Well, I guess we would look at the corn market. If we reduce the acres, if we reduce the yield a bit, and I think the key component is the Chinese potential longer-term demand when they opened up that world by accepting that Syngenta trait. So I think, though, producers need to be aware that we've had a big rally. They may want to take some defensive measures if they're not going to sell the cash and reward to rally, even though we may get something good from the report.
All right, Chuck. Thanks much.
Thank you, Dave.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current trade in the market, March corn, 413 and a quarter, down 1.5, now down 1.75 at 413 even. May is 421 and a quarter, down 1.75. July, 427 and 3/4, down 2. December, 436 and a quarter, down 2.75. January beans, 1052 and 3/4, up 5.25. March, 1059 and 3/4, up 5.75. July is 1072, they're up 6. January soybean meal, 383.40, up 370. January soybean oil is 32.77. It's up 31 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.